You're tuning in to the Our Church Podcast. This week, Pastor Mark defines envy and discontentment. He reminds us the importance of examining having what we need versus having what we want in this current season of life.
Hey, we're going to jump in to the book of Matthew, chapter 20. Book of Matthew, chapter 20, verse 1 through 16. And Lindley, he's got it covered.
Praise the Lord. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And whatever is right, I will give you. And so they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day long?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first." When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. When those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day." But he answered and said to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go, but I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. It is not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own, or is your eye envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last."
Father, as we go into your word tonight, we ask that you would speak to us, and that you would give us revelation. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would multitask, that you would reach the individual, as well as speak to the whole body. And as a result of what we hear today, God, may we change. May we move more towards you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to take my mic back. Hey, Kenny V is back from his trip in FCA. We sponsored Kenny V of his missions trip. Right here, Kenny. It's back to work with our youth as well. As we go into the word, man, I'm telling you, it's really challenging as a pastor. One thing you never want to do, and I just want to help us all, because I do believe everybody in the room is a leader. And whether you know it or not, God has called you to be a leader, and because God has called me to train up leaders. And so even if it's your first time here, surprise. Got tricked, you're a leader, whether you like it or not. And I always want to teach us as leaders, because I believe some of you are going to go and start your own churches. Some of you are going to be leaders in different groups. You lead Bible studies in your neighborhoods. And as a leader, the responsibility you have as a leader is to always speak the word of God. You always have to speak what God is saying. And the most dangerous thing you can do as a leader sometimes is watch the news. Because if you watch the news, you'll be tempted to preach what the culture's saying, and then the culture even tells you what you should preach. But you know, when Jesus lived, the same garbage that goes on today was going on then. And they kept wanting him, "What are you going to say about this?" And he said, "I'm going to preach the kingdom of God." And even his cousin was like, "Hey, don't you see what's going on around here? Are you the one, or do we wait for another?" He said, "Tell him what's happening in the kingdom of God." And so remember this, young leaders, you always, and young means anybody who's not dead, You always want to be God-sensitive and not people-sensitive. And that's why a lot of times I don't spend a whole lot of time on social media, because I want to make sure I'm speaking what God is saying, not something that annoyed me in the social media. And so I'm encouraging you. It's like, and it's tough because you'll catch flack for it, but you can only speak what God's saying, or you can make up something based on your emotions and even get some amens from it. So I'm going to encourage you, in these last days, nothing is happening in our culture that Jesus didn't say would happen. Right? So when I see it, I don't like it, but I say amen, because that's what Jesus said is going to happen. So the book must be true, because he said in the last days, people's love would grow cold. Right? So always keep ourselves focused on what God is saying in the scripture, and there's always be unity. If you get caught up in social media and the news, trust me, how many of y'all read Ecclesiastes with us last week? What did he say? Nothing's new under the sun. So nothing we're going through is new, but the same formula is the same. What's the whole summary of the matter? Fear the Lord, keep his commands. What are you going to do about what's going on in the culture? I'm going to fear the Lord and keep his commands. What are you going to tell the people? Fear the Lord, keep his commands. Well, what about that person? Fear the Lord, keep his commands. It's all the same. Got it? So remember that, leaders. Always be God-sensitive. Say what the word is saying, and not so much what your emotions and your feelings saying, because if you get emotional, you can miss the word. Got it? Emotion is designed. If I can keep you emotional, I can keep you ignorant. But when you calm your emotions and get into the word, then you hear what God is saying. He gives you a fresh perspective on everything. Got that? And so as we do that, as I get into the word, God puts me towards the kingdom of God. And today we're going to talk about envy, something that we don't talk about much. And most people would say, I don't struggle with envy. And that's why I say this might be the person you know that might struggle with envy. They might live at your address and share a room with you. Borrowing your clothes. As we go through the scripture, he says, whenever you see in the scripture, it says the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of heaven is like. We first have to understand that when we see the verse, the kingdom of heaven, he is not talking about heaven, the final destination place. If that's the case, most of these parables would never make sense. Jesus says the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is God's rule right here on earth, right now. And it's in the heart of every believer. So when you go to work, you can be in the kingdom of God, and you might be sitting right next to someone who's not in the kingdom of God, but y'all are in the same vicinity. Why? Y'all live by two different sets of rules. You honor the king, you know who the king is, and you submit to the king. They do not even recognize the king. You're in the kingdom of God, they're not. So when we see when the kingdom of God is like, you need to know he's talking about right here, right now. Because I used to read them when I was younger in the faith, be like, man, a lot of stuff. This is heaven? Why are people getting kicked out? Didn't make a whole lot of sense. So when we get into this, he's saying the kingdom of God is like this. And he talks about this landowner. And he said this landowner went out. I love this story because you got to really get into the story. He went out, it says, around, he started the day and he went out and hired some people. And he taxed them. He hired them to work for a denarius. And a denarius is what you got if you worked one full day. Now, keep in mind, when they talk about the hours, like I said, the third hour, the fourth hour, they're talking about an hour represented 1/12 of time from sun up to sundown. So from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., that's how they counted the first hour, the 12th hour, the 11th hour, the third hour. So in the first hour, he went out and hired some folk, and they agreed to work for a denarii, right? Man, you ever get that job and you just so glad somebody hired you, right? And you get, man, yes, that's good money, right? Because it was better than nothing. Then he goes out the third hour. So 3 hours later, he goes out and hires some more folks to come work. But he don't tell them they're working for a denarii. He tells them, I will pay you whatever is right. See, you got to catch that. I'll pay you whatever is right. So the first people got a definite, this is for a denarii. The second one's, I'll pay you whatever is right, meaning you really got to trust the employer You really got to put faith in the employer that he says, you're going to go out there and work the rest of this day, and I'm going to take care of you, whatever is right. And these guys trusted the landowner and went out there. So what can we glean from that? We got to know this. Whenever you don't get a detailed word from God, if God doesn't say, hey, if you do this, I'm going to exactly do this, then you just have to trust that he's going to do what's right. Because he always does what's right. You got to trust no matter what it looks like. When you don't know what's going on, he's doing whatever is right. We got that? So these dudes go third hour, sixth hour, ninth hour. He even goes out at the 11th hour and asks some folks, why are you not working? Because nobody hired us. And he gives them a job. And I'm going to pay whatever's right. They worked 1 hour because it only went from 12 for 12, a 12-hour day. Trying to teach us something so we can understand the scripture. They worked for 1 hour. Now, it's time to get paid. Payday, praise God, right? That's the one day we get a little energy going to work. Now, get in the story. You're lined up getting paid. And you see the cat that worked 1 hour get a full day's wage. And you know, you see that when you're in the back of the line, it don't bother you. You're like, man, that boss is good, man. He takes care of folks. Hooked him up with a whole day's wage. And as it gets closer, you see the next dude get one. Okay. Well, he went and came in the ninth hour. But it said they begin to suppose while they're in the back of the line, not that he's going to honor the contract. They now thought the conditions changed. Well, now he's not going to pay me based on what I agreed to get. He's going to pay me based on how much I work compared to how someone else worked. You notice the pay is always good till somebody else gets paid. You ever notice that? You sign up for, man, they're going to pay me $30,000 a year. Oh, praise God, you go home, you testify to the church, you tell everybody, $30,000. Man, I remember when I first got my first real contract. Man, I mean, I was making $5,000 a year before, a year. And I went to the interview, and I was told at the last part of the interview, that's when you ask about money, so I'm just waiting. Oh, yeah. And then they say, well, you got any more questions? I was like, yeah, just one question, you know. What's the salary range? And they were like, well, somewhere between, you know, 30 and 40,000. This was back in the day now. I'm like, my lips started quivering. I heard something in my head say, I'm going to Disney World. If I can just survive and don't blow it at this moment. But my lips started shaking. I was like, that's good money. And I was so happy to get my 30. And you know, have you ever been there? But then 2 years in, you find out somebody ain't doing as much work as you is making 35. Where's that praise? You getting in the story now? I got to go talk to my boss. I'm not getting treated right. You signed a contract for 30. And you were praising the Lord for 30. So now look what happens. They thought they were going to receive some more. And when they get up front now, come on. They worked, it said, in the heat of the day. They worked all day. That last brother worked for 1 hour from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. It ain't hot then. And it probably wasn't much less to do. Right? That brother probably testified, he probably spent that quick. You get up there and he hands you one denarii. And then they start to grumble, it says in that scripture. Grumble against the land. You see why they grumble? They had a case, right? They had a case. They were like, wait a minute. You paid this dude the same you paid me, and I've been out there in the heat of the day. See, what he didn't understand at this moment was you can't regulate favor. I like the word favor. Yeah. Favor. Yeah. Come on, you got to say it with me. Favor. Let me hear you. Just go ahead and say it. Favor. Y'all silly. You know what? I'm telling you, when you get it, you be like, favor. We're going to give y'all 101. But you know what happens? See, you can't regulate favor. But there's something in us that wants to regulate how much favor some. We always think somebody else gets too much favor and I don't get enough favor. They don't do hardly anything and they got all this favor. And I've been doing all this and I don't seem to have the same favor they have. You ever know somebody that's been there? You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to accuse anybody. You ever, you know, just been in that place? Man, you ever been in that situation? Honestly, you know who gets the most favor? New Christians. I'm telling you, man, we want them to get saved. We so happy when they get saved, like everything fall in place for new. They feeling the Holy Spirit every day they feel him. He's talking to them, blessing them, coming through with new jobs, cars, finances, everything. And you're sitting over there like, you ever seen that? Man, I'll teach y'all why that happens in another day. But what we often tend to do, though, with this is when we see other people getting favor, we sometimes think that that's God doing injustice to us. And what we can't confuse is he's just showing kindness to someone else. It doesn't mean he's showing injustice to you. He's not neglecting you. He's just showing kindness to someone else. Got that? And he asked them this question. Is your eye envious because I'm generous? Is your eye envious because I'm generous? The whole point of this parable is Jesus showing no matter when you come to the party, everybody gets the same reward. You could have been saved 30 years and somebody got saved yesterday. We all get the same reward, right? That's the whole point of the parable, and y'all can dig into that, but God's really put on my heart to dig into this word envy, because I don't remember ever hearing envy taught until the Holy Spirit started teaching me about it. Because most of us assume, you know, when we read the scriptures, is the acts of the sinful nature obvious, and it lists envy. And we normally jump over that and go to sexual morality, murder, you know, we know, but envy is listed in there. Envy and jealousy are listed in there. So I wanted to talk to us, one, about the difference between envy and jealousy, because they're not the same. Envy is defined as this. And remember, when we talk about sin, envy is not just a feeling. We're going to deal with it on the feeling level first. But whenever we talk about sin, sin is an action, not just a feeling. But let's talk about what envy is. Envy occurs when we lack a desired attribute enjoyed by another person. So envy is when you see something in somebody else that you want. That's when it starts, all right? Now, the sin of envy is when now you begin to go after it in an ungodly way. And that, you know, you'll find that envy and jealousy normally hang out together. Jealousy, though, the difference between envy and jealousy is jealousy occurs when you feel something that you already possess is threatened to be possessed by somebody else. So see the difference. Envy is when I see something somebody else has that I want. Jealousy is when I have something and I don't want anybody else to have any part in it. And I feel threatened by that. That can be anything from money to relationships. You ever have friendships that feel threatened by, oh, you got a new friend? You know, you call your boy, hey, where you going? Oh, me and such, we going over to play laser tag. Oh, are you? You and him going to play laser tag? You know, guys, we don't like talk about it. Ladies let you know. Guys, we feel it. Ladies express it. But anytime we feel threatened, like, man, this is my relationship. This is my time, my vehicle, that's jealousy. Envy is when you look at, man, they have something I lack, and I want it. And so what happens with envy, envy starts with the lack of satisfaction with yourself. Envy starts with the lack of satisfaction in yourself. Now, sometimes what God will do, though, is he will use other people to show you how you feel about you. Because you don't realize you're not. See, the dude didn't realize he wasn't satisfied with the denarii until everybody else started getting it. God will use other people in your life to show you. You didn't even realize you weren't satisfied with you until other things come around. And God always uses other people to bring good or bad out of you. See, the issue with Cain is that Abel was around. Right? If Abel wasn't there with his old nice offering, Cain would have been, all right, I'll do better. You know, I did the best I can. Hey, Abel, that dude, he got something I want. He got favor. The favor I want. Now, when you're not satisfied with you, or you think somebody else has something that you think you got to have, who you really got an issue with? God. And very few people have the courage to say, I got an issue with God. Because he's the one handing out all the attributes, right? He's the one that made you short. He's the one that made you tall. You got issues with him, right? We blame it on the other person. But really, the issue is with God. And here's what happens to us. We believe that somebody else has something, and we think, man, if I get that, I'd be happy. Right? Man, if I had that job, I'd be happy. Man, if I had the position they had, I'd be happy. If I was a millionaire like them, I'd be happy. If I was single, I'd be happy. If I was married, I'd be happy. Well, it always looks greener on the other side, don't it? Guys, I'll be real with y'all. I don't care. Sometimes being single looks good. And sometimes being married looks good. Both people, if they would be gut honest, at some point in time, it crossed their mind, man, single people got it good. And then single people crossed their mind like, man, married people got it good. It all looks good because you ain't there. Right? Every choice we make in life has benefits and consequences. Every choice you make in life has benefits and consequences. But it always can look, and you always think, if I get this one thing, I'll be happy. If I get this car, I'll be happy. And then you get that car payment. And remember, when you're feeling good, it don't affect you the first 6 months. Then 3 years later, like, stupid car payment. Why am I paying $300 a month for something that sits more than it rides? Some of y'all just got that revelation. But that's it. That's why I'm so upset with this car. It sits more than it rides. It's the truth. And what happens is we'll see other people with what we perceive to be our happiness. And now you get that delusional jealousy. You actually think you own it. And now you got an issue with them. You're short with them. You don't have much to say to them. They ain't did nothing to you. They just got something that you want. Come on, you ever been there? I don't like them. I don't know. I ain't something that ain't my own. You know, especially when they got the thing you want and people get them attention for it. Ain't all that. Nobody want that, no how. Yeah, whatever. You know, that's how we are, man. We get so petty. Now, when we got, man, this happened to me this week. Man, we were at Williamsburg. We were in Busch Gardens, man. And people had those little red bracelets on to get to the front of the line. And I'm like, first, man, my doctrine was all over the place, man. I was like, what? Why would a society even make such a thing? How are we teaching the people perseverance? I'm preaching it. How are we teaching the kids perseverance? Just because you got a little more money, you get to the front of the line? And now I'm getting the mug. Go ahead up there, rich boy. Go ahead, jump the line. Miss me and my family back here in the back of the line. That's all right. And then my doctrine started changing as I'm along these lines along. I said, Shannon, you know what? Let me rethink my doctrine here. If we set a little bit of money aside, maybe we can get one of those passes. But I found myself all of a sudden getting an issue with people I don't even know. Because they have something that I thought in the moment would have made me happy, getting to the front of those lines. Especially when you get to that point, you look over and see a sign say, 45 minutes from this point. Don't you get depressed? Would you ever have that? Somebody got something that you want, and all of a sudden you got an issue with them, and you don't even know why. Because in your mind, you actually think they got something of yours. And they don't. Right? So we start judging folks that got stuff. That we, man, if I had that, I'd do it like this. Oh, all right, I heard that wave go through the room. If I had that, they don't even know what they're doing. If I was in charge, it'd be like this. If I was, right? Don't you know if you have one of those for somebody else, somebody who you got what they want, they're doing the same thing to you, right? And so as we start to deal with the real issue of who we're upset with, we got to start dealing with God. Because in that verse, when he says, are you envious because I'm jealous? Is your eye envious because I'm jealous? He is actually saying, what do you think of God? What for us, the boss? Do we deem the boss in this story, who's God, unrighteous? When you don't have what you want, and we know ultimately if you don't have what you want, the reason you don't have it is God. Do you deem him unrighteous? Let me tell you something about God. God is not evil. All right? He doesn't sit around and plan how he can ruin your life. God is not absent-minded. He didn't oops with anybody in the room. You know, it's not like he was creating Becky and he was like, all right, Becky, all right, hey, all right, now I'm going to give Becky the one thing she needs in life to be happy forever. Oh, you say the phone rang? Oh, I'll be right back. And forgot to give Becky what she needed? Oh, and then she got shipped out and got back. Like, what was I doing? God's not absent-minded like that. He didn't oops with anybody. None of y'all got off the showroom floor with God like, oh, man, bring him back. I meant to. God didn't shortchange anybody in the room. But sometimes we think, I'm deficient. I'm deficient. I don't have all I need for happiness. Now, God did create each and every one of us with a form of lack. God took every person he designed and he put eternity in your heart. Two things God put in people's heart when he created them, eternity and the law. Because the law will actually lead you to eternity. We'll talk about that another day. But he put eternity in your heart, meaning you desired that things would last forever. Don't you? Come on. We want the good time to last forever. Kids and guys, we want like the chores to last. Man, I did the chores yesterday, and your wife's like, do them again today. We want everything to last. I did it. Why is it not lasting? I mean, when Jeremiah was younger, I was like, Jeremiah, take a bath. I took a bath 2 days ago. Every day, son. But he thought it was eternal. And this mom, I took that bath. Why is it not lasting for eternity? Right? Come on. You remember that person in your life who did something good for you a long time ago and they keep reminding you of it? They want to last for eternity. Remember I gave you that ride to the store? Dude, that was 5 years ago. But remember, you need that ride. Right? Wives, ladies want the house to be clean eternally. Come on, you hear that? That's why we get in trouble. Can't you just clean it up? Don't you see that? No, I don't. I see it now. Want me to get it now? right? Guys, we want that little loving gift we did of romance. We want that benefit to pay forever, you know? Remember I got you those flowers? Come here, girl. Put you back at me some new flowers. You know, you gotta keep the little dead flowers alive from last month. We just want things to last forever. We don't want, like, I did it. Now, why is it not lasting? And we seek pleasure. Come on, you went and saw that movie, you shout out all that money, and it didn't last forever, did it? Then part two came out, and part three came out, and you're like, I can't wait to part, and they're going to keep getting your money, and it's never fulfill you. We have this thing inside of us that we want pleasure to last forever, and that's why we keep going from the next thing to the next thing. God did that on purpose. He put a desire for eternity in your heart, and he lets you try all the things on this side of the earth. Anything that's created is not eternal. Anything the Creator made is not eternal. So there's no pleasure. Your marriage is not eternal. Woman almost flipped out on me when I told her that one time. You're not married in heaven. No, that's a lie. I just know what the Bible says. But you'll spend all this energy stressing and straining for a marriage that's not even eternal. It's good. It ain't eternal. There's a lot of things that's good, mate. Ice cream's good. It ain't eternal. Your job is not eternal. Your career is not eternal. And we'll spend all this energy on careers. Not eternal. And we get frustrated over and over again because it keeps disappointing us over and over and over. There's only one thing that's eternal. That's God. And that's why Solomon said, look, I experienced it all. I did the research for you. Everything on this side of the earth I have done. And I come to this one conclusion. It's all meaningless. But here's the thing that's eternal. God. And that's why he rewards those who diligently seek him with eternity. All the things he offers, eternal, love, joy, peace, kind, all the fruits of the Holy Spirit, they're eternal because they're not based on circumstances. We got that. So what do I need to do to avoid this thing called envy? Because it's alive and well in a lot of us, even on the thought level. Now, again, remember we said test every spirit and see if it's the Lord. Some of our thoughts, words are nothing but thoughts spoken. Jesus said, my words are spirit, my words are life. We have thoughts. Those thoughts are spirits. And that's why we got to deal with stuff on the thought level before it gets to the action level. Once it gets to the action level, you're in trouble. But we got to deal with stuff on the thought level. So what do I need to do to begin to attack this thing called envy? Well, the one thing we got to do is we got to learn to be content. 1 Timothy 4:6-8 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Raise your hands if you got food and clothing. Praise the Lord. I see the clothing part. I'm assuming y'all got food. You don't need anything else. I got one amen. See, if we don't buy into the word, you don't need anything else. And what if you start every disappointment with, I got food and clothing, praise God, that's all I need. Amen. See, this is when the Christianity gets hard, but this is just real Christianity. The entertainment value is really low. But this is true substance of all I need is food and clothing. Man, if you wake up and you got food and clothing, I don't know, you ain't got to have a lot of food. Man, you got one M&M? Praise God. You got all you need. Let's talk. See, godliness is this. Godliness is our desire to see God's character reproduced in us. How many of us make that our goal every day? My desire is to have God's character reproduced in my life. Contentment means, God, I'm okay with the plan you got for my life, right? I accept God's will for my life. It's not based on my circumstances. It's not based on anything else that's going on. Now, some people try to have godliness without contentment, and they have a bunch of religious rules and live very legalistic, and they're never happy. And that's why they normally invite you into their unhappiness. If you try to have contentment without godliness, you're going to have deception. You're going to get outside of godliness and go for what makes you happy. He says, no, but godliness with contentment is great gain. It means accepting the will of God for our lives, one. And two, it means maximizing everything God has given you, every gift, every blessing, maximizing the gifts and opportunities he has already given you. Before you look for something else, what have you done with what he's already given you? Have you mastered it? Have you, come on, wisdom means skill. Are you very skilled at every gift he's given you? Have you maxed it out? Before you want something else, what are you doing with what you got? And we want more so we can waste it. Come on. What have you done with the gift he has already given you? No matter what you think of it. God don't have any junk. Every gift he gives, every blessing he gives, he has no junk gifts. This is no dollar store gift. You know what I'm saying? You know when you go Christmas shopping for like that third cousin just because they got you something the year before, you feel obligated. This ain't that kind of gift. Y'all know what I'm talking about. What are you doing with it? See, that's what, when I got contentment, I'm just going to maximize the gift he has already given me. I can honestly tell you today, like, I really don't struggle in that area of, like, spiritual envy. I wish I had this person's gift. I wish I had that person's gift. I wish I had this person's calling. Man, and that's ugly when it gets into ministry. Because then you try to reproduce somebody else's thing because you want their results. But, man, you got to be okay with what he's giving you. And even if it's just repeating. Man, Mother Teresa heard God one time say, feed the poor. And she fed the poor for the rest of her life. She wasn't like, man, I've been feeding the poor for a long time. I'm bored with this. I think I need to join the worship team. I mean, we also have people in ministry like, I already been there, done that. Taught me to do something else. Really? Have you mastered it? Have you masterminded it? Are you teaching other people? Have you trained up your replacement? So contentment now, got to get this, must be learned. Paul said, I learned to be content. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. So it must be learned, right? We are not born content. Check babies out. They have to learn that they can even be away from their parents for a while. They got to learn that every time you cry, we don't run. Because it's a newsflash for them. But we're not born content. But look, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I know I've learned the secret to being content in every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. That's the secret. We got to learn to be content. Now, how do we learn to be content? You got to go without. Come on, I'm like, come on, Pastor, pull the plane up. The way to learn to be content is you have to go without and trust God to fill the void. Contentment is learned through suffering. You will never know how much you can take if you don't suffer. You'll never understand perseverance if you don't suffer. In order for a muscle to get bigger, it got to be torn, and then it comes back stronger. You must be willing to suffer, right? Let go on without, and I got to trust God that he will fill that void in my life. He said, the secret to being content is I can do all things through Christ. Not outside of Christ, through Christ. Meaning I got to do Jesus' way. Got it? Some of us start with Jesus and then we fill in the blanks. I got to do Jesus his way. But I can do all things. So if I see somebody, for example, Pastor Victor has a different spiritual gift than I do. Doesn't mean I don't have access to it. But you know what? As long as he operates in it, I don't need to be Pastor Victor. Because if I'm being him, who's going to be me? Elisha followed Elijah. And Elisha wanted a double portion of what Elijah had. And Elijah said, just watch me when I go. Meaning, you don't need what I got until I'm gone. And then once Elijah left, then Elisha got a double portion of what Elijah had. But he didn't need that gift while Elijah was alive. We are a body. Everybody has a piece that we need. And if everybody tries to be the same piece, try to put that puzzle together. Put out all the pieces that are the same and see if you get a beautiful picture. You get frustration. What makes a beautiful picture of the body is everybody operating in full capacity to their gift, to their part, to their piece of the puzzle. And if we get a bunch of lookalikes, it's time to start a new church with those lookalikes somewhere else and mix those pieces up. We understand that. See, I got to start off with, man, I got to be content with who God has called me to be and who he hasn't called me to be. He hasn't called me to get up. Now, I can do all things through Christ, so I can do worship, but I don't need to, because we got a worship leader and we got a worship team, right? I got to focus on what I'm called to do. Well, what's going to happen if the worship team's all not here? Then I might be called to lead worship, and it will be awesome. We gotta understand this. You're not missing anything. So don't look at that person and think they got, no. Look at what God has already given you. Say, man, God is awesome. Let me help you with something. He's a good father. If you need it, Daryl, do your kids have what they need? They got what they need, right? Adam, kids got what they need? See, if they need it, they have it. Don't you understand that? If you needed it, he would have already given it to you. So clearly you don't need it in this moment because you don't have it. You want it, but you don't need it. You have all you need, the Bible says, for a life of holiness and godliness right here, right now. Stop wanting what somebody else got and realizing you don't need it. If you needed it and he's a good father, you'd have it. The problem is you already have what you need and you don't appreciate it. And why then would he give you more when the way the kingdom works is if you're faithful with the little, I give you more. We're not faithful with the little because we're comparing the little to what somebody else we think has a lot. I've learned that you don't know what people go through in their gift. So don't be so quick to want it. Trust me. Girls used to come up to Shannon like, oh, I want a strong leader for a husband like you guys. Like, you, she's like, you don't want this. It's hard-headed. Are we getting this? This is how we knock down. I got to learn in every situation to be content, because if I'm not content, I'm going to start making my own story and tagging God onto it. Come on. If your story is about chasing a job and in that job you got to compromise and lie, that's not God. If you're in a relationship and you keep slipping back and forth and going too far all the time, that's not God. But we'd be like, look, what I wanted a relationship so bad and God gave me one and look what God sent me. God did not send you somebody who keeps trying to get in your pants. You're trying to tag God on it because you like him. Oh, don't give me all the Lord said. That's my husband. No, he didn't. Every time the Lord said it, it's somebody you attracted to. So I guess the unattractive people the Lord ain't speaking to. You like them. It's okay to say you like them. But don't start tagging God on it. Especially if you always slipping and going back and forth. That ain't God. That's you. And the reason you're slipping, because you're not content with the purity that God gave you as a treasure. I trust you with this purity. Take care of it. You ain't going to bring no guy or girl in there that's always trying to ruin that. We slip. Then it's time to break up. Because you're messing with God's stuff. And people don't like that, so let me stop. And so what he says in this parable, to understand this, he says the first should be last and the last should be first, right? I want y'all to understand it's about God as we wrap up. We got to understand he's already given you everything you need, right? The issue isn't if it was just you and God, you're fine. The issue is that it's you, God, you see somebody else. God is 100% fair, but God is not equal. Don't confuse the two. God is 100% fair. He's always fair. God is not always equal. What does that mean? You ever see somebody who gets like 1,000 chances and then somebody else had 2 chances and died? Well, God was 100% fair to them both because they both deserve 0 chances. You see somebody that has the job that you really want and God's not fair. How come I don't have that job? God's fair. He's not equal. Y'all both don't deserve any jobs. You don't even deserve God's air. Everything you have, you do not deserve. He is 100% fair. We don't ever want to get in the fairness game with God. I want what I deserve. You'd be dead. We don't want to know. I don't want what I deserve, God. Praise God for what I got. Thank you, God. It's all right. Hey. But that's where we got to live. See, I've learned, I've been there struggling and watching people doing really well. And I'm like, man, God is good. Thank God for this hamburger skillet. We didn't have hamburger helper, but thank God for this hamburger skillet and this crisp crunch. God's good. Bless it. Pass it around. Invite people over. See, because he's good. Because to me, full is full. I've learned that. I've been to Ruth Chris, and I've eaten a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and at the end of the day, I'm full. One just cost me $50. And so I choose to buy my PBJ more often. Because the end result is full is full. God's good. That's it. And he's 100% fair. If you hold on to that, God is fair. He's always fair. So God, I thank you for what they got. Because I appreciate what I got. And I want to master what I got. I want to have wisdom in what I got so I can disciple somebody else in what I got. But God, never again will I question your fairness. I accept that you're not equal. Hey, you got to accept this. You're not going to have everything everybody else has. Praise God for it. So let's deal with this thing called envy tonight. Let's ask Pastor Victor to come up and take us through healing. Let's deal with this thing on the thought level. Remember, thoughts are spirits. I ain't making that up. Why? The world figured it out. They sell it to you. We sell wine and spirits. What do? Affect your thoughts. So let's deal with these thoughts. It's called repentance and rest. It's no condemnation when he shows us something and we turn from it tonight. Amen?
To stay connected with our church, you can like us on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter using the handle @TryOurChurch. Or you could send us an email to info@TryOurChurch.com. If you'd like to financially partner with our church in carrying out the Great Commission, you can do so through text to give. Just send a text message to 443-201-7266 and include your dollar amount. Thanks for tuning in.